Psalm chapter 90 and verse 2. Psalm chapter 90 and verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth, and the world even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. No, we used to, when I was a boy, go and sit in the First Street Gospel Hall in Portage la Prairie. You look up at the clock, and sometimes did that, and you're a boy, you're wondering just when the meeting's going to end, I guess. And there was a sign right by it. Say a sign, because I don't think the words are exactly quoted from Scripture, but it said, time ends, and then eternity. And so whenever one looked at the clock, one was always reminded that eternity was ahead, that time was not the end of everything. Time was going to end, but eternity would continue. And this evening, I'd like to take a look at a few thoughts about eternity and time. We start out, when we think about eternity, thinking about God, because God is eternal. One of God's attributes is that his eternity. And this verse explains just what that was like. It says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world. So before anything was formed, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So from the time before the earth was formed, to the time when all material things are going to pass away, God is going to be there. And God is a covenant-keeping God, and God can keep covenants. And we can rely on God to keep his covenants, because he is going to be there. And it doesn't matter whether it's a covenant that he made with Noah, that there would never be another flood on the earth, or covenant about anything. We enjoy the covenant that we have entered into through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can have full confidence that that covenant will never fail, because the mighty God of heaven is there and will never change. Interesting that God existed before the world was. He existed, and he brought forth the cosmos from the word of his power. He brought forth the world from the word of his power. He was there before anything material existed, and he will be there, as we noted, after it goes away. Now, people talk about the nature of things, that the material world has associated with time. Time is marked in the material world. Because when something is formed, it begins to age. When it ages, it's the passing of time. And so it marks time passing. So things that relate to this earth, things that relate to us, to time and sense, they all are subject to decay. They're all subject to the passage of time. But God is above that. God is the eternal one, and he is without end. So when we think of time then, and its relationship to eternity, we have been formed as a result of the actions of a God of eternity. And then we think of how things were formed. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 tells us that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We live in a world today where people are being taught in public school, and people are being taught through the various ways in which science is being communicated to the public and so forth, that there really wasn't a God. It all happened by chance. Things came together, and things were organized in a certain way, and we really don't have to have a God to explain creation. Well, it's very clear here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There would be nothing created. There would be no heavens, no earth, if it wasn't for the action of God, if it wasn't for the wisdom of God, if it wasn't for the plan of God. He was the one who created all these things by the word of his power. And so we find that he created the heavens and the earth. Part of the argument that people use concerning evolution and change is that everything is uniform. We must observe things. And if you observe things over a long period of time, you'll see there's been a bit of change. It's a theory of uniformitism. And it's a theory that people like to advance. But when you look at the history of the world, when you look at things like Noah's flood, when you look at things like God dividing the earth, when you look at God's intervention of the people at the Tower of Babel, these were things that happened very abruptly, very suddenly, and in a matter of, in the case of the flood, a few short days, in the matter of Peleg and the division of the earth, we don't know how long that took, but it was within one generation for sure. These are things that happened suddenly, and the whole of human history and the whole of the history of the earth can be explained by catastrophes, as they're called, or by sudden events when God has intervened in one way or another to bring about change. So we can also think of how he has brought about change in the lives of people. He's brought about change in our lives. He's fulfilling his purposes. An interesting verse relative to the way in which time is being fulfilled, we find in reference to Abraham, and I'm just looking for the verse here, but it's to do with the Amorites, and it said that the cup of the Amorites, the cup or the iniquities of the Amorites were not fully filled, and so God didn't deal with them by bringing his people out of Egypt at a particular time. He dealt with them as they were going through the land to move towards Israel, the promised land. And when they came to the country of the Amorites, you'll remember that Moses and the children of Israel, not completely destroyed, but they did a lot of damage to the Amorites. And that was a fulfillment of God's statement about the Amorites, that when their cup of iniquity was filled, he was going to deal with them. And he did that through the children of Israel. But think of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he would have to say. He was the one who we read about in Galatians, that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. God waited until the time was right to send his son forth. The time had been set, even in eternity past, even when man was being formed, the time when God's son would come and give his life at Calvary was set. And so when that time was ready, when that time was fulfilled, God sent his son into the world. You know, we sometimes look in amazement and say, well, think of how if he had come at some other time, it wouldn't have been so appropriate. The roads that were there because of the Romans having taken over the land of Canaan and the land of Israel, the roads were extremely good for transportation and for travel from one place to another. When we think of how the Lord was able to move amongst the people and to speak the Greek language, because the Greeks had occupied that part of the world before the Romans came, and Greek was the language in which a lot of people still spoke. It was a language of culture. The Lord came at that time when it was perfectly set for the gospel to go forth and his message to go forth. And so we find item after item was associated with the timing of his coming, the method of execution, the way in which the Romans would crucify people. That was associated with his coming. And he came at a time when the prophecies concerning him could be fulfilled. The prophecy about him being lifted up upon a cross could be fulfilled. The prophecies concerning how he would be so wrongly treated. And he was the one who completed those things because of the time that God sent him forth to be a savior for us. So we find that God has certain times and he fulfills those times. We don't know, as we look around us today, what the times are for God to be fulfilling in our day. We look at the war in the Ukraine and we say, how does this fulfill God's purposes? How is this working out God's plan? What is the plan that God has? And God doesn't give us that wisdom. God doesn't give us that insight to understand in detail what he's doing. But we can have confidence that whatever God does, he has a purpose in it. It could be that he's preparing things for future days and realigning countries so that they're one against another. It could be that he's progressing the tools of war that will be used by the Antichrist and used in the coming Armageddon. There could be many things that are being advanced by the circumstances that we see in the world today. But we can be sure that eternity, that the God of heaven is in control of all these things, and he's not going to let his purposes fall to the ground. He's going to complete his purposes and his covenant with his people. So this brings us to our times. We have ages before us. That's what Paul writes in Ephesians. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kingdom toward us through Christ Jesus. So the Lord Jesus Christ has had grace towards us. He saved us. He's redeemed us. He's using us for his purposes. And why? It's that as we live in the ages to come, because this little time upon this scene is not the end of our existence. It's not the end of our time before God. We have ages ahead of us. And throughout those ages, God is going to reveal through us the exceeding riches of his grace. He's going to say, that brother, that fellow over there, he was in this particular condition, and I reached him and saved him. And it's brought such glory to my name. And each one of us will be a story of the grace of God, and the angels will rejoice as they look upon us throughout the ages, and they see how failing humans like ourselves could be made right, could be set right, could be used by God to be to the praise of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't that thrill your soul to think that in the future that's going to be our portion? Lord Jesus Christ, as he went through this scene, spoke of an hour. He had an hour that was before him. The time when the hatred of man, when the Jewish people, when the Romans would be empowered to act against him. And the Lord said he knew that hour was coming, and he was ready to accept that hour. He prayed in Gethsemane's garden, if it be possible, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He was ready to accept everything that would come in that hour, and he knew it in great detail. You know, sometimes we have hours of trial, hours of tribulation that come into our lives. Sometimes we look at the hour and we don't know what's entailed in it. We wonder. We can't understand it. We think that maybe God's maybe not thinking about us. We maybe got off the path and he's not concerned about us anymore. But you know, he brings us to those hours, and he expects us to move forward in faith and in confidence in him. and with a sense of doing what's right and doing what we need to do. And he looks forward to us completing that as he brings us through hours of testing and trial. The trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth, Peter refers to. It's a test of our faith, and he'll bring us to those hours in order to cause us to be more dependent upon him and to live more for himself. Sometimes, you know, we also think of an hour as a period of time, just as a day might be a period of time, and it might be a time of opportunity. Maybe there's something that has arisen in our circumstances and in our lives, which is an opportunity. And we have the encouragement by God to take hold of those things that God has put before us and to take hold of those opportunities that he gives us to serve him. Sometimes we might feel, well, we've got so much on our plate right now, we really can't take hold of this new opportunity. Maybe we are concerned that we're limited in some way. We all are limited in some way, often many ways. But when God puts before us an opportunity and he opens a door, that door is open to us and no man can shut it. And as we think of the things that are around us, surely there are opportunities in each one of our lives that we can lay hold of and use our time wisely. The scripture speaks of redeeming the time. He's given us a certain length of time here upon this scene. Maybe it's 80 years, maybe it's 70 years, maybe it's 60 years. We don't know how long God has given us. But we are to redeem the time that he's given us, to use it for himself. And when he sets before us an opportunity, we should move forward to take that opportunity and to use it for the glory of God. Sometimes we hold back because we're hesitant. Sometimes we're not confident in ourselves. And we have every right not to be confident in ourselves. But if God is opening the door, we can be confident in him. And he will give help. And he will give the empowerment. And so we're challenged by time. We're challenged by the fact eternity is working its purposes out in time. And we're challenged by the fact that the time that we have is part of that evidence of how eternity is working out its purposes. And we can be one with the purposes of eternity if we will come and give ourselves fully and completely to doing the will of God. The Lord Jesus Christ was a perfect example. He gave himself fully and completely to doing the will of God, and he provided sinners such as ourselves with a way into the glory of God where the riches of his glories will be seen through the ages in us. May God help us to realize that we're here for a short time. We're not here for ourselves. We're here to glorify the God of heaven. May God help us that as opportunities are presented to us, that we might lay hold of them and use them for the glory of God. Shall we pray?